100 Word Stories.
Good morning. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. This is Lawrence Simon, your host, your train wreck conductor, sharing with you the many stories written this week on the topic of an unpublished labor of Hercules. Yeah, you thought there was only 12 labors, huh? Well, there's more, and you're going to find out about them in the weekly challenge. Let's find out who went first. Open up the mailbox and this, and have to reload it. And oh, it's John Musico. Well, John, let's hear your tale of adventure.
An Unpublished Labor of Hercules by John Musico. The Iliad told us of the 12 labors of Hercules. Zeus had a mean sense of humor. He chose not to make public the 13th and final task for Hercules. That final morning, Hercules awoke with a belly like a watermelon. Yes, he was quite pregnant and ready for delivery. 24 hours of agony followed. To inspire bravery, Hercules called from his memory the Herculean feats he had surmounted. He strained till his bones nearly broke, the saltiest of sweat beating into his eyes, blinding him. Zeus could stomach watching this no more and ended it. Hercules' humiliation ensured secrecy.
Thank you, John. I wonder where the baby shower was held. Maybe on Mount Olympus. Not sure. Hopefully Prometheus didn't give out fire. He's always giving fire to man. And his liver. Next up is Jeffrey. Jeffrey, take us back. Take us back to ancient times and tell us a tale.
Hello everyone, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with some stories for week 424 on several unpublished labors of Hercules. One thing I'll have to say is those ancient Greeks made some really hard to pronounce words, so bear with me. My first story is called The Last Labor of Hercules. Hercules had completed a dozen tasks for King Eurystheus, from slaying the Nemean lion to capturing the monster Cerberus. Using his considerable strength, his wits, and on occasion some timely help. When he returned the 300 monster to Hades, the king, as promised, released him from his labors. As he left Hades, preparing to join the search for the Golden Fleece, the goddess Athena appeared to him. She said, "Mighty Hercules, you have one more task to perform before you can truly be free. Rid yourself of your guilt from your terrible deeds." Though Hercules lived for many years, taking other wives and lovers, and having many adventures, his mortal form died with this labor yet unfinished. And my second story was based on an idea given to me by my boss. It's called Labor 13I, Eliminating the National Debt. Hercules looked at the big sign displaying the national debt, $17 trillion and counting. He wasn't a learned man. To him, that total was unfathomable. And that didn't count all the off-the-books stuff, such as Social Security and Medicare obligations. He sighed and flexed his muscles. First step, empty all personal savings and investment accounts, deposits, CDs, IRAs, and 401ks. When that didn't help, he removed the funds from all business accounts. Still not close. Hercules shrugged his massive shoulders and gave up. Some labors were simply too much. That's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I don't think anybody can solve it. But that's okay. Ooh, I've got $5. Mist is sitting in front of the waveform, so it makes it a little hard to see things. Is this recording? Am I on? I'm not sure. But at least I've got laundry started, and I watered the plants, took my vitamins, took the fiber chew. Ah, man, it's a tough morning, I'm telling you. Maybe I should go to church.
Nah. You want to go to church, little kitty? No, you don't.
Okay, so, let's move on. How about some stories from Richard? I think you'd enjoy that.
Good morning, everybody. Interesting topic this week, so straight into the fray with part 60 of the story of George, Hercules. George often slipped into fantasy when feeling dispirited, imagining himself a hero, facing insurmountable obstacles, overcoming them against all the odds. Trudging along the road, he imagined himself a latter-day Hercules, labouring to achieve the impossible, the single-handed rebuilding of society. He called up Rasputin's monster and his own imagined zombies, slaying them victoriously in hand-to-hand combat to emerge battered, bleeding, but triumphant. Getting into the mood, he picked up a stone, hurling it contemptuously at a large pile of rubbish, then watched in horror as a large and angry lion emerged snarling from behind it. Well, that was an unexpected turn-up for the books. What will happen to George? Tune in next week to find out. But before then, I have for you an unpublished labour of Hercules. It was fun to get Hercules drunk. Alcohol always loosened his tongue. Everyone knew about his heroism, but only those who drank with him knew there were other, somewhat unexpected tasks he'd performed for the king. After one night on the beer, swearing us to secrecy, he revealed to us what he described as the most difficult labour of all. Astonished, we listened as he told us how the king demanded he flaunt nature and give birth. "It's not that I wasn't equipped for the task," he said. "It was the 10 hours I spent in labour almost finished me." And one more story. This one's called Lifetime Ambition. Hercules dreamed of success. So he hatched his great plan, vowing to commit himself to writing, even if only 100 words a day, every day until the day he died. He would be successful as the author of the greatest novel ever written, even if it was only posthumously. And that's exactly what he did, day by day, word by word, page by page. Sadly, Hercules died young. Having never made a will, his family completely failed to appreciate the worth of the hundreds of notebooks left when he died, throwing them in the trash. His life's labour, unpublished. And that's all I have for you this week. Speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
And this is why I try to have a minimum of family, so there's fewer people that might throw out my stuff when I die. Young and unpublished. Thank you, Richard. I'm doing a little test here to see if you can hear the fan. I desperately need it. Although there's a fan that's a silent fan, and it's louder than this one. Isn't that amusing? Maybe I should just, you know, wear pants that have been sitting in the freezer. I am doing laundry, though. I am doing laundry. What next? Tom. Let's hear from Tom. See what he's got for us.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Movement. Chelsea enters the top 60. Dionysus takes the 57th place. John and Julie are 3 stories behind Fricker. Spate is a mere story from passing Linda, poised to enter the lair of the Golden Monkeys. Thanks to Richard for going that extra cubit. with his 404 stories. By my count, that gives him 185, thus just 10 away from becoming the seventh monkey. But the big news this week is the addition of a new iron monkey. Jeffrey has posted 100 stories in a row. He is the 11th iron monkey. Story total, 6,740. Story average, 20.7. And I've got two stories tonight. The first one, providing coverage at a fixed rate of payment. Labor 13, intoned the Mycenaean king. Wait a second, that was 12. 12 labors. What's this 13 thing? Do you take me for a fool? Did you read the fine print? I don't read. I'm a hero. Elias, do tell the hero what he put his X to. Herc, bad news. It reads 12 plus another. Now, if I may, Labor 13, the hero known as Hercules, will bring the protection of term life insurance to all the Minotians. Times like these, who can know the will of Zeus? But with Mutual of Omaha, your family is in good hands. And the second story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 53. El Cid Caesar was a very literate bandit. Just before he wiped out a rustic niche of humanity, he liked to read a passage from the current book he was reading. So on the edge of Funky Town, El Cid halted and opened a tattered copy of Kilgore Trout's Unpublished Labors of Hercules. "What just happened?" cried Bannister. "One minute a stampede of desperados, and the next minute a bloody feel-good goombaya ring." "Maybe they're having a prayer circle," said Sparky. "Highly unlikely," said Smith. "Whatever it is, it's over. They are hell-bent for leather now." Sparky hit the switch. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. Some strange words to ponder.
Yes, that's my tummy.
Oh, no, not those words. I've got mist on the table poking at my tummy.
Yes, I need to lose a few pounds. Yes, as soon as I get a treadmill.
I could go walking outside again like I used to. I don't like it outside.
Yes, I'm going to pet your tummy. Yeah, how do you feel? Yeah, oh, you like it. Okay. Mist is a good kitty. For now. Yeah, what are you looking at?
It's good to have a podcast every now and then. Every now and then. So I'm getting the laundry done. I cleaned up the bathroom. You know, scoured the sink and cleaned up the mirror and moved all the stuff around. Put away a bunch of stuff on the counter that didn't need to be there.
Cleaned all the waste bins. Got to take out the trash in a bit. Laundry machine failed on one of the loads. Go figure.
Never ends. But it'll be done soon. Just like this podcast. How about a story from our new friend Bram? Let's hear from him.
Hello, my name is Bram Slaats and this is my story about an unpublished labor of Hercules. The Dragon of Serpo. Hercules was once again sent on a task. To slay the Dragon of Serpo. After he arrived at the island, he asked for directions from the innkeeper.
She resides in a cave 2 miles north from here. You can hear her roaring from far away. And you will know when you see her. She's the biggest red dragon you'll ever see.
Hercules thanked the innkeeper and starts walking. The ever-present patron asks, "So, how long do you reckon before the poor hero returns?"
"My lovely redhead of a wife will scare him off before nightfall," chuckles the innkeeper.
Read this and more on my site, www.bramslaats.com. See you guys next time.
Thank you, Bram. Oh man, mist keeps jumping up here. And since it's so warm, she likes to shed all over everything. She bumps against me, hair on my face. I just shaved, too.
Good girl. Yes, you are.
even though you are in the way. So, thank you, Brahm, and I'd better just keep moving on until we get this done. How about a little bit of Zachman? Okay.
This is an old Greek sci-fi story about Hercules, a Nephilim who was required to perform a dozen labors for King E. You have likely heard the first 12, but not that King E was a baker, so that included one more, the quest for the golden monkey. E gave Hercules a rope, telling him the poet Lariat would be his guide. The rope said, "Winds will blow, winds will gust. To attain the golden monkey, more than 100 travels, write you, you must." "Is it that easy?" asked Hercules. "Do not hesitate. Narration is part of your fate."
Thank you, Zachman. You know, I think that's actually how the golden monkeys came about. I'm not sure, though. Long time ago, and it was an unpublished labor. Oh well, Hercules will know better. We'll ask him later. While we're waiting, we can ask... Whoa, Botgirl has returned? Oh, cool. Inspiration strikes. See? People take a break. People come back. And we've missed them. Are you missed? Oh, well, missed, as in the cat. No, you're missed. I mean, never mind. All these homonyms are driving me crazy. Let's hear from Botgirl.
The 13th Labor of Hercules. Written by Botgirl Questy. After finishing his 12th labor, Hercules sat by the river Styx and wept unconsolably. "You paid your debt," spoke Hades. "Why do you still weep?" "Pity me, O Lord," Hercules moaned. "For although I have served the sentence for slaying my wife and children, the agony of their loss has not been extinguished. You cannot escape torment within your soul through action in the outer world," said Hades. "Your final labor is to sit with your pain in full awareness until you find peace." Hercules sat. Eons passed. The gods became myth. Civilizations rose and fell. He still sits today.
Thank you, Botgirl. This is what happens when you don't seek therapy. Instead, you sit and you weep for eons and eons in regret. Don't do that. Seek help. Go get help. Help is good for you. This message brought to you by Help. So who's next? Lizzie? Okay. We're just going to keep this rolling along. I don't know what I could ramble about. And then Sing's piece will be posted separately. So here we go with Lizzie. That's right.
"Tell me," the detective uttered. I don't know, sir. She was already dead," whispered the beggar. "What? Speak up, man." The beggar got closer and whispered a bit more. As always, the detective stroked his mustache pensively. The beggar did have a point. The victim bore a remarkable resemblance to that writer, something Krista, Christine. "She was just there. I almost tripped." The detective tried talking to the local police, but they went around scratching their heads, not knowing what to think or say. "We are doomed," he mumbled. It became obvious that now the darn thing would never be finished. This was my story for this week. I couldn't resist writing about a writer. And the story, in fact, although I remember somebody commenting that That was very boring for people listening to the stories or reading the stories, but oh well, here it is. I drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie, and never worry about being boring. If you ever do write something that's boring, well, just takes a minute and folks will be hearing something else. They're not going to be bored for long. Isn't that cool? Flash fiction is wonderful. I love it that way. Also, I love what Tura has written for this week. I love what you all have written for this week. No, I don't. The stories are stories. Well, I like a lot of them. Maybe I love one or two of them. Can't love everything. I mean, that's just crazy. How can you love cigarette smoke? Ugh. Oh, well, unless you blow bubbles and you put the cigarette smoke in the bubble and then it looks kind of smoky bubble. That's kind of cool, but I don't love it. Oh, anyway, here's Tura's story.
Hercule Poirot was ennuyé. No one is doing any mysterious murders. The little grey cells, they decay without work. He toyed with a syringe of 7% cocaine. Then the doorbell rang. A most urgent and a discreet matter, said his visitor. A diplomatic ball to be given, and assassination plots against almost all the invitees. I am but an humble detective, said Poirot, not a SWAT operatif. Of course, we will have security operatives, but we wish to engage you in advance, to speedily apprehend any murderers too clever for our precautions. Ah, this is a labour worthy of Hercule.
Thank you, Tura. Let's see, what else? Nope, nothing comes to mind. It's been a... I could say something about Tracy Morgan. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. I mean, he's had substance abuse issues and doing all sorts of other crazy stuff, but he was responsible enough not to drive around on his own. Instead, they had a limo bus. They were being responsible and careful and got caught up in a car wreck. So that's kind of stupid. That's a total injustice. I think the great being in the sky ought to give, like, brownie points and a free pass to anyone who does that, instead of just driving around on their own, like most people do. Drunk and distracted and whatever. So depressing. Here's Munzee.
Greetings, jibber-jabberers. Munzee here, and this time I'm the one providing the jibber-jabber. Which is good for you, I presume, as it would provide you with free time to appreciate the jibber-jabber of others, which as jibber-jabberers, I imagine that on a professional level you might enjoy. Doing it now! Mythology by Christopher Monroe. He did NaNoWriMo, you know. Yes, he was there, writing 50,000 words, crafting his novel. He finished, too. Finished and was pleased. His story was everything he hoped it would be, yet even after edits, he couldn't figure out what to do with it. Every publishing house said no, calling it unrealistic in spite of every word being true. And that was when he realized his autobiography had no home in the literary world. He'd wait for somebody else to write his story, however they might change it. And so, his real life went unread. The unpublished labor of Hercules. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my thing, thang, jibber-jabberers. And as of this very moment, I return you to your jibber-jabber.
Thank you, Christopher Monroe, a.k.a. Munzee. I will continue to jibber-jabber. Although I don't think I'm jibber-jabbering all that much this week. Just not much to jibber-jabber about. I look at the headlines, there aren't any dead celebrities really worth mocking. I already ripped into Maya Angelou. I mean, whatever. Horse racing? Who cares? It's horses? what does that benefit? Maybe you could say the Indy 500, some of the innovations that they do might help with regular vehicles, but not really. It's just a waste of gas and produce a bunch of pollution. Garbage. I don't know. It just doesn't really freaking matter. I saw the Tom Cruise movie yesterday. I ate way too much popcorn. I should not be eating popcorn. I should not be eating that crap. I don't know. Just same as it ever was. Here, listen to Serendipity while I go be neurotic in the corner.
Professor Ahmed dusted off the shard of pottery and gasped in amazement. He squinted at the faded Greek lettering in the torchlight. Gentlemen, this speaks of a legend that has remained secret for centuries. An unpublished labor of Hercules. He read to us, turning the fragment to catch the light. King Eurystheus summoned Hercules, commanding him with an impossible labor. You are to reach through time itself and steal a soul from the distant future to placate the gods. How remarkable! Exclaimed the professor, failing to notice the great bronze encased arms reaching through time from the shadows of the tomb towards him.
Thank you, Serendipity. Seeker Ray sent a note saying that she's heading into the hospital for something, and she's taking a break. So, whatever you're facing, hopefully you conquer it and become stronger. They fit you with all sorts of crazy cybernetic implants, and you bring about the doom of the human race under your mighty iron fist. Or if you don't feel like stretching, so just get well soon. See, I remembered who you are. For once. I don't remember most people. I'm just living in ignorance, I guess. I remember Spade. He's pretty much on the forefront of my mind right now because his story is next. Here's Spade.
Hey, it's me. Jibber Jabber Spate. I've got three stories this week. Here they are. Hash, Part 10. The buzz clang of the bolt release jolted Davidson from another daydream. The solid steel cell door opened. It was Hercules. Davidson curled his lip. Shower again? Already? Got soap this time?
No, just want to talk to you.
I'm not putting pants on.
Don't want you to.
Reverse psychology?
Personal gain. I've got 10 grand riding on this. You don't wear clothes, and you're going to eat that whole damn can of hash in one sitting without puking or shitting.
I'll never get to shit again?
Not till you're dead.
Davidson frowned. Hash makes the best shit. I'll miss that. Hash, Part 11. Hercules paused while a single tear left a shiny trail on the permanent 5 o'clock shadow of his cheek.
Do it for me, please. I need the money. Bad. For a sex change.
Davidson's eyes widened.
I know what you're thinking, Hercules said, looking himself over. But when you live your whole life denying who you really are, you go overboard in the acting department. But why tell me? 'Cause I just gotta tell someone, and you'll be dead pretty soon. But Herc, call me Tiffany, please. Tiffany, I think you're gonna need a lot more money. Not in Greece. Hash, Part 12. Davidson pondered Greece, and for a moment, Tiffany thought she saw regret on his face. She changed the subject.
Hey, did you know that Warden is spiking your food with Viagra? I think he thinks you'll get embarrassed and put some pants on.
An erection? Ah! I'd be damned proud. Why ain't it working? They mix it up with saltpeter? They looked into each other's eyes and knew they would both be all right, experiencing a connection that only a man who was about to be put to death and a woman who lived her whole life in a man's body could.
I guess I need to add hash to my grocery list here. Actually, I'm going to go to the super Target, not just a regular Target. Bagels, silent fan, underwear. Sounds like a weekly challenge topic, if you ask me. Thank you, Spate. We're learning a lot about the adventures behind bars. It's like Orange is the New Black, except darker. Let's go with Dionysius clothes to see what he's got, although I think he's wearing pants. Here's Dionysius.
Hi, this is Dionysius Clothes with three stories about previously unreported labors of Hercules. The first story is called Hercules Looks in the Mirror. So, let's talk about what you can do to get better, said the therapist. Hercules felt a surge of anger, a desire to kill the man. But he had already learned that these urges came from issues with his stepmother, along with traditional cultural values inherited mostly from his father, and he controlled it. The shrink pressed his luck. Failed marriages, untold lovers, both male and female, children you haven't provided for, that you couldn't provide for, honestly, orgies of 50 girls in one night. My God, man, and violence. His voice trailed off. Do you really think that's healthy for Hercules? As Hercules left the bloody office, he realized the inept therapist was right about one thing. He faced his greatest labor ever. The next story is called Last Lost Labor. We'd never seen that look. His hero's visage was transformed, as if asking, "How is this happening?" He spoke in a low voice, introspective and mourning, questioning. "We are immortal." His eyes turned to the club for a moment. At last she is getting what she wanted. Tell her I meant no harm. Later, there were so many, each beautiful, each with a part. Tell them. A flicker of recognition passed over the tired face. He rested his hand on the pelt. Children clung to me, imagining I was the lion immortal. The penultimate transformation was something none of us expected. Now the penance must be complete. And the last story is called Manifestation. I hadn't noticed him before. He'd been sitting in the back row off to the side, a big hulking guy, but good looking. The prof, it was a fictional discourse class, he completely ignored him. Why? For the rest of us, he became the center of attention. By midterm, we were turning our chairs his way. Still, the prof rambled on, oblivious. The guy hadn't gotten through to him. The class was a mess, man. The prof was lost in whatever. We were all obsessing, with no idea why. Then, one morning, the prof freezes in mid-sentence, strikes this muscle man pose, and yells, "Hercules!" Changed my life.
Thank you, Dionysus. That'll keep people wondering for a while, I hope. Wondering all the way through Chelsea's story. Let's wander while wondering through what Chelsea has painted.
Hercules by Chelsea. We've all heard endless stories of beheaded monsters and rescued damsels, plans of gods carried out and thwarted, the countless endeavors of Hercules. But what about the everyday? Hercules was a father and a husband. Where are the stories of teaching his son to throw discus, or taking his wives for a night on the town? Is it because these things were not heroic enough? Are they just too commonplace of events to bother with? In an era of absentee parenting, children running wild, maybe a few more of the boring stories would have been a good thing.
Thank you, Chelsea. No one ever remembers that about Hercules. Thank you for reminding us. They always think big, burly guy, but nope. The man had a heart, too. You know who else has a heart? Narval Joe. He has a heart.
Hello, this is Philip Narval Joe Carroll of NarvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 424 with an unpublished labor of Hercules. Here's my story. Hercules heard a commotion descending the amphitheater, and guessed Megara had finally arrived. She sat beside him and asked, "Why didn't you get seats closer to the front?" He clenched his teeth. "When we agreed I'd stay home with the kids while you continued working, I thought you would support me in activities like this. You've nearly missed Herculina's dance." "How could I tell? I have the Minotaur and Medusa sitting in front of me," Hercules growled. "Buying tickets from Hera is like fighting a Hydra. She about drove me crazy." Megara hugged his arm. "You know you love me." "Well, maybe you can tell it's recital time in my household." And Hercules may have had a labor, but he didn't have to tap dance in a Santa outfit wearing a serape and a sombrero to the song Feliz Navidad in a high school auditorium without air conditioning and 95-degree temperatures. So, I'm whining. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Narval Joe, although everything I do is whining. Everything. Complaining and whining and nitpicking and bitching and moaning and that's all it is. That's all it is. What good does it do? It doesn't change a thing. Just annoys people. Makes them matter. Makes them do the stuff even louder. Over and over again. Nobody learns from it. Right. Let's move on to Planet Z and get this wrapped up. You can tell how excited I am. I've got a few more minutes and the last bit of laundry is done. Ta-da! Yay! Woo! Just sense of accomplishment.
Hercules saw the blood and gore on his hands and screamed. His wife, his daughters, all dead. Go to the Oracle hissed Anticurius. So he did. He raced from Thebes to Delphi. What can I do? Begged Hercules, clutching the wise woman's robes. The oracle looked down at Hercules and scowled.
You killed your family, and the first thing you did was come to me?
Hercules nodded.
The least you could have done is wash your hands first, said the oracle. I hope for your sake this washes out of my robes.
It didn't. Hercules went robe shopping the next day.
And there you have it. Weekly challenge, 100 word stories, 420 something, blah, blah, blah. One a day until the day I die.com. Comments, thoughts, links, share, this, that. Next topic is cold. I don't know. Just go to the site. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of the weekly challenge and the stories and the this and the that and the laundry and cats and things. I'll see you next week. As always, keep it brief.